And now for some more anniversaries. Cliff Richard is celebrating 2 this year. Not only is he turning 80, but he's also celebrating 60 years in music. And to mark these 2 milestones, he's telling the story of his life in his definitive autobiography, The Dreamer. And with a hit in every decade since the 1950s, he certainly has a story to tell. Here are Sam and Tim with some of Sir Cliff's reminiscences.
Congratulations and celebrations when I tell everyone that you're in love with me. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know I'm happy as can be.
Why did you decide to write your autobiography as you neared 80? Did you find it an enjoyable process?
Well, I have a lot of life to write about. It's a lot to look back on, but yes, I have enjoyed it. So many exciting things happened to me back in the late 50s. People assumed that pop music began with the Beatles in 1963, but it didn't. It wasn't just me. Billy Fury, Marty Wilde and Adam Faith were all playing rock and roll right at the start, as were our American idols, including the greatest of them all, Elvis.
What do you remember about first hearing Elvis Presley? Why did he excite you so much?
I was 15 and walking down the street with 2 school friends when a car parked next to us. This amazing music came blasting through its open window. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. I'd never heard anything like Heartbreak Hotel, and it changed my life forever. Without Elvis Presley, there would have been no Cliff Richard.
How amazing was it to be a pop star at 17? Did you feel as if you were pioneering rock and roll in Britain?
It was incredible. At the time, I had a boring job as a credit control clerk in the company where my dad worked. I hated it. I was also singing part-time in a skiffle group, but skiffle didn't really do it for me. So I left and formed a rock and roll band. We got a record deal and wrote a song, Move It, and it went crazy. Suddenly I was on TV and radio and doing shows up and down the country to thousands of fans going crazy, and I was still 17. I couldn't walk down the street without screaming girls chasing me. I loved it.
How did finding God in the 1960s affect your life?
It affected it in every way possible. My dad died when I was only 20 and left a big hole in my life. I was having so much success with number one singles, sell-out tours and hit movies, and yet I felt empty inside. I couldn't help but think there must be more to life than this. When I became a Christian, I thought I'd have to give up my pop career to serve God. I announced I was retiring from music and wanted to be a teacher. But then I got offered the chance to do gospel albums and tours and host religious TV shows, and the penny dropped. It's not either or. I can do both. When I found God, I got distracted for a few years from my pop career. It had used to be everything to me, and now it wasn't. I didn't make an album for 4 years. My singles didn't chart as high, and I focused more on my faith and on hosting TV variety shows. Then in 1975, Bruce Welch from The Shadows produced my album I'm Nearly Famous. It spawned 2 of my best-known singles in Miss You Nights and Devil Woman.
Yeah, these Miss You Nights, they're the longest.
I suppose you could call it a comeback, except that I say that I never make comebacks because I've never been away.
Can you tell a song will be a big hit as soon as you hear it?
Yes. No. Well, sometimes. I knew Devil Woman was a great song as soon as I heard it, even though as a Christian I was initially wary of singing a song about a fortune teller.
She's just a devil woman with evil on her mind. Beware the devil woman, she's gonna get you. She's just a devil woman with evil on her mind. Beware the devil woman, she's gonna get you from behind.
I could tell We Don't Talk Anymore would be a big hit, but I didn't know it would go to number one. Nobody can predict that.
Did you find it traumatic to revisit that awful time, the South Yorkshire police raid on your home, which the BBC showed live, for The Dreamer?
It turned my life into a nightmare. False sex allegations are the worst thing that could happen to anybody. They were a dark cloud that hung over my life for 4 years. I obviously always knew I was innocent, but I had to put my life on hold while I cleared my name. It hurt me and damaged me. It feels good, finally, to get the chance to give my own complete side of the story. I've been completely honest about the whole ordeal and how it affected me. If anything, putting it down on paper has been cathartic.
You're 80. Does that landmark daunt you?
No, it doesn't daunt me, although revisiting my entire life for this book has shown me just how long I've been alive. It's all been an amazing adventure, so far, and I feel very lucky to have lived the life I have. In some ways, I still feel 18 inside, like the young boy having a huge hit with Move It. After all this time and all I've done, I feel happy with where I am in my life, with what I am and with who I am. And I don't really think anybody can ask any more than that.
Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know how happy as can be. I want the world to know how happy as can be.
Fascinating. And Cliff's autobiography, The Dreamer, is published by Ebury Press at £20.